The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. In our divine service last Sabbath, we dwelt upon the importance of walking in and restoring the old paths. And we became quite informed in the fact that all that the Old Testament laid out in paths to dwell in are relevant for us today. And we read these words from Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 to 20, that Jesus enlightened us in, that he did not come to destroy any of the Old Testament. Let's read it again there, Matthew chapter 5. Reading there from verse 17 to 20. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. These are the words of Jesus. And it is my prayer that we will comprehend what he is trying to say. To help us, I want to read from the Spirit of Prophecy in the words to Spalding and Magan, that's SPM, page 127, paragraph 2. Where the Spirit of Prophecy says this: it is necessary to the... Sorry, I have got the wrong quote here. Page 127, I've got here 125. Sorry about that. 127, paragraph 2. We must give the Lord a chance to do his work, his great work for the soul. We must give the Lord a chance to do his work for our soul. Christ is our sufficiency. Each one of us must understand that it means to have the Word of God fulfilled in us. The Word of God fulfilled in us. As Christ was in this world, so are we to be. If in this life we are like him in character, we shall in heaven have his likeness. If there is no likeness between Christ and us in this world, there can be no fellowship between us when he shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him. The reason that I read this is because of the words of Jesus that he came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill. What did I read here? Each one of us must understand that it means to have the word of God fulfilled in us as Christ fulfilled it. And so this is the consideration of this hour. What is encompassed in the words of Jesus to fulfill all the law and the prophets, so that we may understand our fulfillment of them? So, what is encompassed in the law and the prophets? What did Jesus refer to? Many in the Christian world have various opinions here. Many in Seventh-day Adventism narrow the law and the prophets down to the Ten Commandments and the fulfillment of prophecy. Then there are others who believe that the whole law includes the Ten Commandments and the ceremonial law and prophecy. And there are others in the majority of Christianity today that discard the Old Testament. The Old Testament is not relevant anymore, only the New Testament. But what in reality did Jesus mean when he said that he came to fulfill and not destroy the law and the prophets? What did he mean? Not what people pick up what he meant. What did he mean? Up on Mount Sinai, God gave to Moses over 40 days the laws of the Old Testament. He gave Moses the tables of the Decalogue, written on tables of stone by his own finger. Then he continued to give the laws of the sanctuary, of the sacrificial detail, the ceremonial holy days, the statutes, the judgments, all under one reference in the Bible. What did God give Moses? It was entitled the Law of Moses. It encompassed the entirety of the Ten Commandments, the ceremonial laws, the sanctuary detail, and all the other laws of living detail. What importance did God place in his word upon this entire spectrum of the law of Moses, the old paths? Let's go to Malachi chapter 4 and let scripture enlighten us here. Malachi chapter 4, reading there, verse 4. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Remember the law of Moses, which God commanded him to the Israelites. That sounds quite important, doesn't it? The law of Moses that encompassed everything that God gave him on Mount Sinai. I still remember in my conversation with certain individuals that you cannot separate the Ten Commandments from the other laws. They're all one together. And in my partial ignorance, which the Lord has illuminated me later on, I didn't agree with him. There was a separation between the Ten Commandments and the ceremonial law. In reality, there wasn't. And this is what we want to understand. Let's also read 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 2. And there again, we read the importance of Moses' law. 1 Kings chapter 2, reading verses 1 to 4. First Kings chapter 2. 1 to 4. Now the days of David grew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies. As it is written, where? As it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. King David is speaking under inspiration here, talking to Solomon, and what seriousness does he place here upon the law of Moses? To walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgment, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, then you will prosper. Verse 4. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Very clearly, the word of God is here revealing to us that all of the law of Moses is relevant and important. All of it. And as it said there, that by following and keeping those things, those statutes, those commandments, those judgments, those testimonies, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. So, here is a conclusion that we must draw, that God wants his people to have full respect to the law of Moses, to do what the law of Moses tells them to do. As my time is not available to go into the full detail of the law of Moses, I want to raise some items of this law and to give an overview so that we might be able to identify the meaning of the words of Jesus, that I have not come to destroy the law of Moses and the prophets, but to fulfill. And just to pause for a moment in the terminology of that Jesus came not to destroy, but to fulfill. What is the meaning of fulfilling as Jesus meant it there? There are two meanings, dictionary meanings, of fulfillment. And the first one is to accomplish or carry into effect as a prophecy. In other words, if a prophecy tells you something has to happen, to fulfill that prophecy is the thing will happen. And Jesus came to fulfill, to complete by performance. That is one segment of the meaning of fulfill. But there is another segment, and that is to do, to obey, to comply with. So these are the two aspects of fulfilling the law and the prophets. One, to complete, to carry into effect what the law is meant to achieve, and to obey is the second meaning. So Jesus did not come to destroy the law and the prophets. He came not to bring them to naught. He brought the true meaning of the law and the prophets by fulfilling. So examine those laws for a moment. The law of Moses. The law of Moses contained three important elements. One was the laws of practice to fulfill means to practice them, to do, to comply. Those were the laws in the law of Moses that were the Ten Commandments, etc. The second segment of the law of Moses were the civil laws. The civil laws of the Hebrew nation as a nation. There were laws given there for national civil submission. And thirdly, there were the ceremonial, the sacrificial laws. And they were all given by God to Moses on the Mount. The laws of practice encompassed the moral, the Ten Commandments, the moral law, the health laws, the laws that preserved propriety in the people that he called his own, that was address and many, many other aspects. And to fulfill these laws was to obey and to comply to them. Then to comply as a citizen of a nation to certain of those laws that were given also of God. That was the national laws. And the ceremonial laws were the laws that gave a typical understanding of the gospel. The sacrificial laws, the sanctuary, all that was associated with the sanctuary was to be practiced, and none of the Hebrews were to disobey those laws. They were to carry them out. And to practice them and to fulfill them in their comprehension of understanding the fulfillment of the gospel in their life. And our prime focus in our meditation here now is, do we have to fulfill the ceremonial laws as Jesus did? Jesus said, I've come to fulfill all the various laws that the Hebrews were commanded to celebrate in anticipation of his coming for the gospel work. Jesus came to fulfill the sacrificial offerings of the animals. He came to fulfill that. He came to fulfill the work of the priest and the priests doing their work. He came to fulfill that. He came to fulfill circumcision, which is part of the law of Moses. He came to fulfill the sanctuary details of that were given there to the Hebrews. He came to fulfill the feast days, the Passover, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles. If you want to read the summary of what those feasts were and what God required of them, it was in Leviticus chapter 23. There are the details of all the feast days in summary. And every aspect and detail of these festivities represented the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people who were called upon to practice them, to engage in those feasts. When Jesus came to this earth, he came to fulfill, to accomplish everything that these ceremonial feast days were representing. He came to fulfill them. He was the Lamb. And if you ever studied the red heifer, he was the red heifer. He was the dove that was slain and the other dove that was to be washed in the water and the blood of that slain second dove. He was the wave sheaf. After the harvest, the first fruit was waved before the Lord in the sanctuary. He was the wave sheaf. He was the first fruits of the harvest of this earth. He was the unleavened bread that they were to eat in the Passover. And so when Jesus was sacrificed at the cross, notice how that death of Jesus affected that which God had sacredly placed before the Hebrews in the sanctuary detail. We read it here in summary from the Spirit of Prophecy once again, the story of Jesus. And we read page 146, paragraph 8 onwards. Here is the description of Jesus on the cross. A light encircled the cross, and the face of the Savior shone with a glory like the sun. He then bowed his head upon his breast and died. The multitude about the cross stood paralyzed, and with bated breath gazed upon the Savior. Again, darkness settled upon the earth, and a hoarse rumbling like heavy thunder was heard. This was accompanied with a violent earthquake. The people were shaken into heaps by the earthquake. The wildest confusion and terror ensued. In the surrounding mountains, rocks were rent asunder and went crashing down into the plains below. Tombs were open, and many of the dead were cast out. Creation seemed to be breaking into atoms. Priests, rulers, soldiers, and people, mute with terror, were lying prostrate upon the ground. At the time of the death of Christ, some of the priests were ministering in the temple at Jerusalem. They felt the shock of the earthquake, and at the same moment, the veil of the temple, which separated the holy from the most holy place, was rent in twain from top to bottom by the same bloodless hand that wrote the words of doom upon the walls of Belshazzar's palace. The most holy place of the earthly sanctuary, the most holy place of the earthly sanctuary was no longer sacred. Never would the presence of God again overshadow that mercy seat. Never would the acceptance or the displeasure of God be manifested by the light or shadow in the precious stones in the breastplate of the high priest. Henceforth, the blood of the offerings in the temple was of no value. The Lamb of God, in dying, had become the sacrifice for the sins of the world. What did Jesus just do? When he was hanging on the cross and died, he fulfilled the law of sacrifices and symbolisms, the typical laws. He fulfilled them. He didn't do away with them. He fulfilled them. The whole meaning of what the Jews were commanded to practice came into fruition in Christ fulfilling it. And as we were reading that was written in Matthew 15, 37 and 38, that the curtain was ripped from top to bottom. That curtain, that veil, was near to 2 feet thick. Only the hand of the divine could rip that from top to bottom. And there was a declaration by God. It's fulfilled. These are now fulfilled. They have reached their meaning in Jesus Christ. And when the disciples, and the Jews were all perplexed, and then of course the disciples were Jews as well, they thought this was the end now. Oh, terrible. And Jesus had to come to them, and look what he said. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and reading there, verse 44. Luke 24, verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Jesus made it plain and clear that he did not destroy the law of Moses. He came to fulfill, to accomplish what they represented. They were not destroyed. He came to fulfill them. And here we are today to do what Jesus commanded us to do. We remember we read it there from the story our previous reading that was there from Sporting and Megan, that we are to live as Christ lived. He fulfilled the ceremonial law. He fulfilled all that was written of him in the law of Moses. Let me read one such expression that the apostle in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Let us follow through very carefully now how that we are to fulfill as Jesus fulfilled. We are to live in fulfillment of the law of Moses. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. He says here, verse 6 first of all, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Did you notice here that the Passover is relevant for us in a different meaning than partaking of the unleavened bread physically? We are to partake with Christ, fulfill, as he fulfilled the Passover. Christ is our Passover and was sacrificed for us. And we are to engage together with Jesus in this sacrifice. Not in the symbol, but in the reality, fulfilling the meaning of the Passover. Fulfilling it together with Jesus. We are to eat Jesus Christ in the feast of the unleavened experience of malice, no longer having malice, wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The services of the Passover commemorated the release of the Hebrews from Egyptian bondage. The Passover was Jesus fulfilling this symbolism of being released from bondage. He fulfilled that in his sacrifice. Egypt represents what to us in symbol? It represents bondage to sin. We read it there in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 34 to 36. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus came to fulfill what the Passover represented, to release us from sin, which the Hebrews depicted in type of being released from Egyptian captivity. And the feast of the Passover was to be fulfilled in Jesus and in us. Fulfilled in reality. No longer to engage in the symbol of it, but fulfilled in reality together with Jesus. Let's read the reality there in Deuteronomy 5, verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And there we read verse 15. Deuteronomy 5, verse 15. And he says here, remember, he says to them, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath. The moral law and the keeping of the Sabbath had something to do with the power of God to release them from bondage, to not forget where they were. And Ephesians chapter 2 beautifully sums this up, because Jesus said, he who commits sin is a servant of sin, and we are to remember where we came from, and to appreciate the true meaning of the Passover, which was a commemoration of the release of the Egyptians, of the Hebrews from Egypt, which Jesus came to fulfill in regards to the reality of freedom from the bondage of sin. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. And remember, just as he said to the Hebrews, remember how you were saved from the Egypt? Wherefore, remember that you being in the time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called unto uncircumcision, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made with hands. Right? Circumcision in the flesh, made with hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Jesus fulfilled the ceremonial Passover, taking us from captivity of sin. He was the Paschal Lamb. He was the unleavened bread that they were to engage in. This is all fulfilled in Christ. We are now to enter into the reality together with Christ of those ceremonial laws. The ceremonial laws are still in operation as to their meaning of fulfillment. We don't partake of the symbols anymore. We are partaking of the reality of what they represented, just as Jesus did. The Feast of Tabernacles, which some people believe should still be kept, that Feast of Tabernacles is a commemoration of freedom from bondage. Let's read it in Leviticus 23, verse 41 to 43. Leviticus chapter 23 that I referred to in the beginning is there's the summary of it all. That's Leviticus chapter 23, verse 41 onwards. And you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. What was the Feast of Tabernacles all about? A commemoration of release from Egyptian captivity and traveling through the promised land, towards the promised land, traveling towards the promised land in booths. What are we doing in reality? We have no abiding city here. The reality of the Feast of Tabernacles has everything to do that we are not settling down in this world to stay here. We are traveling towards the heavenly Canaan. That's the reality of the Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles. We are called upon to fulfill those meanings. Just as the Day of Atonement was replaced by the reality of Daniel 8:14, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. What sanctuary? That which the earthly sanctuary typified. The Day of Atonement was commenced once after the 2,300 days. That's the reality, because Jesus went as our priest to the heavenly sanctuary. He came to fulfill the earthly symbolisms, to take hold of the reality. So Jesus indeed opened a new and living way. Do you remember reading that from the Spirit of Prophecy? A new and living way. Hebrews chapter 10. The new way was that the symbol which was not the living way, which was symbolic of the living way, was opened up by Jesus Christ, the new and living way. He fulfilled it, and we are to be together with him in the fulfilling of those symbols into reality. Let's read it there, Hebrews 10, verse 19 and 20. Hebrews 10, verse 19 and 20. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Can you see the reality here? To go into the heavenly sanctuary by the blood of Jesus. Here it is. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. The veil was torn from top to bottom because the flesh of Jesus was torn at his death. Very interesting reality comparisons. And the meaning of the Old Testament ceremonial laws to be fulfilled in Christ and us is still the case. Circumcision. Circumcision was mandatory in the law of Moses. Remember when Moses was ready to travel to Egypt with his wife and his children and his sons? Who stood in the way with a sword in his hand? An angel was going to smite him if he didn't do what was told. What did he have to do to his son? He had to circumcise him before he went any further. It was mandatory. But what was the reality that this circumcision was symbolic of? Let's read it in Deuteronomy chapter 30. You see, we are to fulfill together with Christ. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 30, we read there verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul that thou mayest live. What was this? The reality of the circumcision was a symbol of God circumcising our hearts, taking away the foreskin of our fleshly heart. That's another statement. And let's come to Galatians there, chapter 5. Galatians. Just to realize that all those laws that were to be kept in this ceremonial typical service was fulfilled, and we are to fulfill it in the fact as Christ fulfilled it to bring about the reality of what it meant. Galatians chapter 5, reading there verse 1 onwards. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. He's making a reference back to bondage from Egypt, right? He has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Circumcision has been fulfilled in Christ. And if after Christ we are circumcised, Christ profits us nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, now notice what he says now, that he is a debtor to the whole law. He must keep all the law of the ceremonies if he's going to get involved in circumcision. It was all fulfilled. But fulfilled in what way? In the reality of what it meant. Let's read on. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but what is the reality? But faith which worketh by love. Circumcision is the cutting away from our heart the sins of the flesh. That is what Jesus came to fulfill, and we are to fulfill it together with Jesus. In chapter 6, verse 15 and 16, beautifully expressed here. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be unto them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. The Israel of God. The true Israel. Those who have been redeemed by Jesus. Not those who are of national Israel. And circumcision is of no avail after Jesus Christ came. Because then circumcision is symbolic of a new creature. That's the reality. And we are to fulfill circumcision in reality, not in symbol. And of all the feast days, with the title of Sabbaths. All these feast days were called Sabbaths. Notice that in Hebrews chapter 4, there was only one Sabbath left over to continue to fulfill by complying and obeying to that. The other days were fulfilled in reality. But to fulfill the Sabbath day in reality, that was the one that still continued to have to be kept. This is Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 2 through to 4. So beautifully now that the gospel of Jesus Christ is here discussed, the fulfillment of the law of Moses. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. How was the gospel preached unto the Hebrews? It was through the sanctuary service and all the festivities. And it goes on to say, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, all their symbolic typical activities were meant to help them understand the gospel to enter into rest. But what were they wrapped up with? The symbols instead of the reality. We are to fulfill the symbols in reality. He goes on to say, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Let's come across to verse 8. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? And then that's that word, Jesus is Joshua, because Joshua was talking to them there. He's making reference to this. If Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? Now comes the word. There remaineth therefore. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. And he's referring directly to the Sabbath day. There remaineth a Sabbath day. The other days were fulfilled. The Sabbath day is fulfilled, not as a symbol fulfilled in reality, but as a commandment to comply with. And Jesus fulfilled the symbols and the complyings. He fulfilled all of that for us so that we would follow in his footsteps. So the other Sabbath days reach their fulfillment in the gospel, which we who believe are fulfilling with Christ. Jesus came to fulfill all the laws pointing to the realities of the gospel and showed us to fulfill, obey, do the laws of the practice of the Ten Commandments, of the precepts for healthy, happy living, etc., etc., those other laws that were not ceremonial. And so in conclusion, we come to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And Apostle Paul is dealing with this point of the ceremonial laws that Jesus came to fulfill, and they have been fulfilled, and we are to fulfill these laws in reality, not in symbol. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, because there are these people who believe that you should still be keeping those holy days, those feasts. Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17. Let no man therefore spoil, sorry, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. The shadow was fulfilled when Jesus came. So therefore, let no man judge you that you are meant to be keeping all those holy days, all those laws, all those meats and drinks and all that sort of thing. Don't let them judge you that you should be keeping that. That was fulfilled by Jesus. And the meaning of all those things we are to fulfill in reality. And now I want to conclude with these words from the Spirit of Prophecy that puts it all together as a beautiful summary. The book Be Like Jesus, BLJ, page 362. So follow through carefully now. This is inspiration, summarizing the whole subject. And it's a quote from Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 15, where it says, But Jesus answered and said unto him, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And he was going to be baptized by John the Baptist. To fulfill. In fulfilling all righteousness, Christ did not bring all righteousness to an end. He fulfilled all the requirements of God in repentance, faith, and baptism, the steps in grace, in genuine conversion. In his humanity, Christ fulfilled up the measure of the law's requirements. He was the head of humanity, its substitute and surety. Human beings, by uniting their weakness to the divine nature of Christ, may become partakers of his character. Christ came to give an example of the perfect conformity to the law of God required of Adam, the first man, down to the last person that shall live on earth. He declares that his mission is not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it in perfect and entire obedience. In this way, he magnified the law and made it honorable. In his life, he revealed its spiritual nature. He revealed to the heavenly beings, the world's unfallen, to a disobedient, unthankful, unholy world, that he fulfilled the far-reaching principles of the law. He came to demonstrate the fact that humanity, allied by living faith to divinity, can keep all God's commandments. The typical offerings pointed to Jesus. And when the perfect sacrifice was made, the sacrificial offerings were no longer acceptable to God. Type met antitype in the death of the only begotten Son of God. He came to make plain the immutable character of the law, to declare that disobedience and transgression could never be rewarded by God with eternal life. He came as a man to humanity, that humanity might touch humanity. But in no case did he come to lessen the obligations of mortals to be perfectly obedient. He did not destroy the validity of the Old Testament scriptures. He fulfilled that which was predicted by God himself. He did not come to set human beings free from the law. He came to open a way by which they might obey that law and teach others to do the same. It's important for us to go over this material many times, to comprehend the depth of fulfilling the law of Moses. That which Jesus fulfilled, that was pointing out the reality of what he came to do, was fulfilled, satisfied by him. And we who are to receive Jesus as our personal Savior are to do the same. That all the symbolic object lessons were to be practiced by us, but not the ceremonies themselves. This is to be understood. The ceremonies were not destroyed. They were fulfilled. And we are to fulfill the ceremonies in the reality of accepting Jesus Christ and all that he has done to make these things clear to us. May God bless us to understand so that when we are challenged that we should be keeping those feast days, we can say to the people, yes, we are keeping them. We are fulfilling the reality of what they represented. May God help us to remember this, is my prayer. Amen.